Our mission at CPC is to make and mature more followers of Christ. And several years ago, we started a journey to reach more people for Christ in the northern part of the peninsula. And we launched the North Campus first by having several preview services at our Foster City campus and different meetings to engage people's hearts. And then we started to reach out into the community and through a Halloween photo booth outreach and a Thanksgiving dinner at a homeless shelter and excitement built. And we saw God at work. And that was several years ago. And then in 2009, January, we launched the North Campus officially at Mills High School. And we were blown away. 500 people showed up. We couldn't believe it. And then we even made the cover of the San Mateo Times. And God was obviously at work and in our midst. And for 2 years, we met at Mills High School and had just an awesome time of worship and fellowship as God continued to grow our church campus. And we also had some struggles. We were almost sued by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And that was crazy. We had some technical difficulties. We had to set up and tear down every single Sunday, and that was just hard. But in all of that, man, our people were resilient. In all of that, we never lost focus on what we were doing and what we wanted to be about. In fact, in some of those trials, we really sensed that, you know what, this is exactly why we're here. And this is exactly the place God wanted us to be. And lives were being changed. And from children to students to adults, people were hearing the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And it was a phenomenal time at Mills High School. Well, as many of you know, Mills High School was then going to be torn down, the auditorium, and then rebuilt. And so that left us wondering, well, gosh, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Again, we had to really lead by faith and step out in faith. And so we found a great facility at Crestmore/Peninsula High School. And we began to remodel the inside of that space. Well, but then we hit another snag, and it's a long story, but the city of San Bruno essentially said, hey guys, we need some permits for this, and we have to do some studies, and to our surprise, we had to stop our construction and begin to enter the permitting phase. But we were stuck. We didn't know where to go. And so we then went to Skyline Community College and met there for a couple of months. And really, it was our first introduction into the San Bruno community. And it was a crazy time, but a fun time. Again, God consistently showed up. And after several months of kind of in the wilderness, we finally made it to our Crestmore facility, which is our current facility. And again, God has been faithful. We went from one service to two services. We started a fifth and sixth grade ministry called The Edge. We started the women's Bible study, which is just continues to grow. In 1 year, we even grew by 25%. Again, all evidences of God's grace. Lives continue to be changed. People are continually being baptized. I hear story after story of how God is growing people and changing people and reaching people. And again, that's what we want to be about, the making and maturing more followers of Christ. And so if you're watching this, you are part of a journey. You are part of a journey of faith. And it's like kind of like surfing. You just get onto the wave and you just ride it for God's glory, for God's name, and for God's fame. So we're excited, not about only our past and what God has done, but we're excited about our future, where the Lord is taking us. And so we hope that you will continue to join us for an incredible ride. So I want to thank our staff from all three of our campuses who are cheering us on today. I want to thank our central support team who serves behind the scenes every week. I especially want to thank our North Campus staff who put up with me, for one, and then work tirelessly to serve the Lord and you as well. And I really want to thank all of our volunteers who really serve our church simply because they love Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And of course, a big thank you to the Millbrae Lions for breakfast. So can we just thank everyone one more time? Just everybody. Good. All right. Would you just bow your heads? Let's pray together one more time. Father in heaven, you are so good to us, and your faithfulness is just unbelievable. God, I'm thinking about Mark and Neil right now who are still in Rwanda. Just pray for them that they would have safe travels here back home. Thank you for their leadership and their ministry in Africa. And we just pray for this time. As we jump into your word, God, would you challenge us? Would you encourage us? Would you, whatever we need today from you, God, would you speak into our lives? We believe that you still speak. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. All right, if you have a Bible, we're just going to jump right in. Joshua, no, that's the New Testament. Joshua, chapter 1. I'm just going to look at 9 verses. If you have a Bible, go ahead and look. If not, it will be on the screen. Let me just read from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. He writes, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, as I was thinking about, you know, what to preach on for our 5-year anniversary, it just so happened. I loved how that happens with the Lord. It just so happened in my own personal time with the Lord, I was studying the book of Joshua. And I was just blown away at this man and what God did in his life and his mission and his calling and his leadership. And I was just like, wow, what faith this guy had to display at an incredibly important time for the nation of Israel. See, leadership, I believe, is all about influence. And if you're a leader and no one is following you, then as John Maxwell says, "He who thinketh he leadeth and have no one following him is only taking a walk." All right, it's a good line. And so Joshua was this incredible leader. He had great influence, but how did he get it? Where did his maturity and his courage come from? Why would God choose this man out of a million other Israelites, this one man to lead his people at a critical time in the nation of Israel? And then I was thinking about my own life. Well, what about us? Do you want to be a great leader? I mean, is there something happening in your life where you need some courage? Maybe you're here and you're like, "Rob, I really need to be encouraged this morning. You have no idea what's happening in my life." If you can answer any of those questions with a yes, then you're in for a treat from the book and the life of Joshua. So I want us just to back up and just for a moment, get into the mindset and thinking of this new leader, this guy, Joshua. Okay, let's think about this guy for a moment and what he was up against. The great patriarch, the great leader of Israel, Moses, is dead. And the beginning of the book just says, God says, Moses is dead. Boom, there it is. And from the book of Deuteronomy, we learn that Israel had mourned for Moses for 30 days. And I bet people were wondering who would take over the leadership baton from Moses. I bet people were wondering, well, gosh, since Moses is dead, did God's promises die with Moses? And so this was a time of crisis and transition for the nation. Remember, Israel had been wandering in the desert because of their disobedience, not for 10 years, not for 20 years, not for 30 years, but for 40 years. And so a whole generation of folks have died off, and a new generation are finally ready to take the promised land. And so Joshua is chosen by God himself. He's given this role of leadership, and he has big shoes to fill. Think about it. He's replacing Moses of all people, right? It was Moses who led God's people, over a million of them, out of slavery from the land of Egypt. It was Moses who raised his staff in faith and the Red Sea parted. It was Moses who went up on the mountain on Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. But guess who was right there with them the entire time? Joshua was. Joshua. And we learn from other books of the Bible that Joshua was a great military leader. He was also a spy to go in and check out the land. But what we learn right here from the first couple of verses is that Joshua was Moses' aide. Joshua was Moses' kind of right-hand man, his executive assistant. And so Joshua got to see firsthand all the miraculous events recorded in Exodus. Joshua was there when he was there when the first five books of the Bible were written. And so in all of this, we see God's hidden hand at work in the life of Joshua, preparing him for this new role, this new leadership role. And so as you think about your own life and your own situation, I mean, maybe God has you right where he wants you. And maybe you don't like it, but maybe God is preparing you for something greater than what you're doing right now. But for right now, he has you maybe right where he wants you. And so Joshua reminds us to be faithful in the small things and let God take care of the rest. And so the story goes on. After the death of Moses, God speaks directly to Joshua. The Lord gives Joshua what I call kind of a pregame speech. I'm sure John Harbaugh went into that locker room today and fired up the guys with his khaki pants and everything, right? Guaranteed. But see, or Jim Harbaugh, whoever it is, yeah, yeah. But what Joshua needed, though, he didn't need advice. He actually didn't even need a pep talk. What he needed was encouragement. That's what he needed. He's a new leader, and he needed encouragement. And so God reminds Joshua of his track record of faithfulness. God reminds Joshua of the promise that he gave to Abraham. Watch this, 400 years earlier. And God is saying, that promise that I made 400 years ago, you're going to see, and I'm going to fulfill it all in your lifetime. And then Joshua is promised really three things by God himself. First, God promises Joshua land. Okay, land. Land was very important. And so Israel was going to cross the Jordan River. By the command of God, they were going to take all the land that has been promised to them for four centuries, okay? Israel will finally enter the land. The second thing that God promises Joshua victory. Victory. Now remember, there were people living on that land, and they weren't going to say, oh, you're God's people? Great. Take my house, take my land, thank you. No, no, no. And so Israel was not an impressive army of warriors. They would come across mighty, mighty nations, and they needed God desperately to fight on their behalf. And then finally, the third thing that God promises Joshua in this text is God promised his very own presence. And so God said, Joshua, I am going to be with you and Israel throughout it all. I will never leave you, God says. I will never forsake you, God says. And if you read the entire book of Joshua, that's exactly what God came through on his promises. Joshua died, and God was still with him. The Israelites entered the promised land. They took it. The Israelites defeated every single foe they came across. Why? Because God was with them. See, why did all this happen? Because Joshua was a great military leader? No. Because God's work and his promises are dependent on God himself and not any man. You know, a friend of mine recently told me about this new kind of movement online. Maybe you've seen it. It's called Because I Said I Would. Anyone ever seen this online thing? This is really cool. Because I Said I Would, according to their website, is a social movement and nonprofit organization. According to their website, they're dedicated to bettering humanity through the power of a promise. And so what this guy did is he came up with these promise cards that just say, because I said I would. And people use these cards to remember the importance of their word and for promises, both big and small. This guy, I watched his TED Talk. He gave out 150,000 cards. He'll send them to you for free. All you have to do is request them. They've been sent out to 48 different countries. Here's just a couple of examples. One person wrote, I will always fight heroin. Another person wrote, I will sincerely compliment one person each day. I will donate a kidney to my brother London. I will finish my half marathon in less than 2.5 hours. Isn't that a great idea? Because I said I would. And as I was watching the TED Talk and reading about this website, I just kind of dawned on me. I was like, wow, for us who are followers of Jesus Christ this morning, I know there's some of you who are not, but we're glad that you're here. But for those of us who follow Jesus, I was thinking, man, I should start a company that says, because he said he would, right? Because he said he would. Because I was thinking about this, the Bible is full of promises that God has made to his children. But unfortunately, many of us, we don't know them, or we tend to forget the ones that we do know. And so I believe this guy is onto something. It is really important to keep our promises, but even more, man, we serve a God who always, always keeps his promises. I have this book in my library. It's called All the Promises of the Bible by Dr. Herbert Lockyer, and a timeless, timeless classic. Here's an entire volume, an entire book on the promises of God. I was reading the introduction to this book, and listen to what he said. He writes, it's been computed that there are 30,000 Bible promises. 30,000. He says, no indication is given as to how that colossal number is reached. Altogether, he writes, there are 31,173 verses making up the Bible, 23,000 roughly verses in the Old Testament, almost 8,000 in the New Testament. And then he writes this, he says, scattered throughout the Bible are hundreds of definite, explicit promises forming the category Peter names as the exceeding great and precious promises. So Joshua believed more than anything that God always keeps his promise, all 30,000 of them. And so God promises the land and victory, but Joshua and Israel must act and take it. And then today, Jesus promised to build his church. But we must act and participate in his plan. And thankfully, 5 years ago, by faith, we trusted in God's promises to build his church. We started the North Campus right here at Mills High School. And it's been a crazy, wonderful journey. So let me just ask you, by way of application, what promises of God do you need to hold on to in this new year? What promises of God do you need to believe and pray about this new year? Man, make your own little card. Write that promise down. Stick it in your purse or your wallet. All right, so Joshua not only believed in God's promises, something else that really surprised me is he really believed in the power of obeying God's word. Look with me at verses 7 through 9. So now God is encouraging Joshua. Then he moves on and kind of just like sticks it to him and says, Joshua, listen to me. This is what he says. He says, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See, in these verses, after some much needed encouragement from God, really Joshua is really commissioned to do three things. To know God's word, meditate on God's word. That simply means to read it out loud and think about it all the time. And finally, to obey God's word. Now, I'm a little surprised by that, right? If I were Joshua and I was on the other side of the Jordan with my sword in my hand and ready to take my land, I'd be like, okay, God, give me a detailed plan, okay? Give me a step-to-step do. Who do I kill first? Where do I go next? Okay, Joshua, God, what route should I take? Okay, we're going to do this. I want a plan. But God doesn't do that. See, instead, Joshua is told to love God's word. And I just got to imagine that Joshua's a little bit like, really? Okay. So no plan. Oh, so you want me to live by faith? Oh, okay, I see. Okay. And he just leaped off the page at me. His secret sauce, really, was the word of God. Even though Joshua was a great leader, even though Joshua was a great military expert, God said, you need to know and obey my word if you want to be successful. See, God wanted Joshua to be completely immersed in the word of God because I believe whatever shapes a person's thinking shapes their life. And the Bible is filled with people who ignore God's word and led to destruction. And so God wanted Joshua to be in relationship with him, and that relationship was going to be formed on the foundation of God's word. And I think that's what we need more of today, really. Not brilliant people, not clever new methods, but simple obedience informed and motivated by the living and active word of God. I really believe that. Now, let me just say this. It's also important to understand that just because Joshua obeys all of God's instructions does not mean he's going to succeed. See, obeying God's law perfectly was never the point. That's what got the Pharisees and Sadducees in trouble with Jesus. See, those folks love to follow rules more than following Jesus. We around here call that religion. And so Joshua will succeed because God is with him, helping him and giving him the power and enabling him to obey God's instruction. Big difference. So we as followers of Jesus, we don't succeed spiritually because we obey God's law. Again, that's religion. Jesus enables us and gives us the power to live for him because we are in relationship with him. And so we can't live the Christian life on our own. And that's what God tells Joshua. Unless he makes the meditation, which is the poring over of the scriptures and obedience to God's word, his first priority, God says, Joshua, you will not succeed. Your leadership will fail. And you know what? The same is true for us. I read just a crazy story this week online. I hope it's true, but I think it is because I found a picture of it. But Robert, terrible last name, I can't even pronounce it, Kupersmead. Robert Kupersmead was an 81-year-old with no flying experience. And he was up there in the plane with his friend. And his friend, who was 51 years old in 1998, or 52, Wesley, died and had like a heart attack in the plane. And they were leaving, flying from Indianapolis to Muncie, Indiana. And so during the, can you just imagine, you're flying, hey, this is awesome, love flying up here, boom, hey, what's wrong with you? You're dead. Oh my gosh, I don't know how to fly and I'm 81 years old, right? Big problem. I've been in a little plane, actually, fun story, real quick, for free. I was in a little plane once, and we were coming back from a fishing trip, my buddy who's like a fighter pilot, and he said, Rob, you got to take over, I'm tired. He starts taking a nap, and I'm driving, I'm like, this is awesome. And I'm driving for like an hour, and he wakes up, and he goes, and I go, what? He's like, bro, you got to come back down. I guess I was slowly like going into like the atmosphere. And I'm like, oh. And anyway, almost died, but it was so fun. And I'm like, well, why did you fall asleep, man? I don't know what I'm doing. So anyway, back to the story. So this guy, this old 81-year-old is in this plane. So he gets on the radio and calls for help. And I guess nearby there were two other pilots who heard the call, and these two pilots gave Robert just a steady stream of instructions for climbing and steering, and of course, the scariest part, what? Landing, okay? And so these two experienced pilots, they circled the runway three times before this frantic old man, who was completely inexperienced, finally attempted to land. And so there are actually emergency vehicles out there that are called because they all thought this was going to be a disaster. There's no way this guy's going to do it. And witnesses in this article I read said that the plane's nose nudged the center line, bounced a few times before the tail hit the ground, and the Cessna ended up on a patch of soggy grass next to the runway. And Robert, I think it's, yeah, it looks like he's getting arrested, but I don't think he is. It's like, poor guy. But just an incredible story, right? I mean, a sad story, but an incredible story. But I was thinking about this. This pilot listened and followed those instructions as if his life depended on it. Because guess what? It did. See, imagine what would take place in the lives of believers if we not only listened to, but we obeyed the word of God with the same conviction that our lives depended on it. The Apostle Paul reminded young Timothy, you know these words, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training of righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we believe, and you've heard it these last couple weeks, that studying the Bible is absolutely essential to walking with God. And so that's why we want everyone at CPC to take the E100 challenge. These little daily planners are like a punch-out card. Those are free. You can get those. There's also a devotional guide, and those are $5. But man, I hope you are making plans to join us to read through the Bible in the next 100 days. But here's the challenge. Don't just read the Bible. We need to learn and apply the Bible and live it out. And so Joshua believed in God's promises. He believed the power of obeying God's word. And then finally and lastly, he believed that God will always be with him. Three times in this passage, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Twice, God reminds Joshua that he will be with him. And so Joshua was chosen by God for this mission. He cannot avoid the responsibility God gave him. So even though Joshua was prepared, even though he was a great military general, even though he was with Moses for years and years and years, he still needed encouragement. He still needed to hear those words, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. General George Patton once said, I love this quote, he says, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Ah, that's a good one. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. And so Joshua's strength and Joshua's courage come not because of who he is. They come because he begins to trust in God's faithfulness. He's able to look back on the nation of Israel and their history and go, gosh, Lord, yes, you've been faithful. You've been faithful to fulfill your promises. You've been faithful to your word. You've been faithful in your presence. You've never left us. And just by the way, when this passage talks about being successful, it has nothing to do with worldly wealth or worldly success. It has absolutely everything to do with accomplishing God-given mission on this earth, okay? But what about us? I mean, didn't Jesus promise to be with us too? Of course he did. Listen to this great commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Underline that. Great reference to the Trinity there. Verse 20. And teaching them to what? Obey everything I have commanded you. And here it is. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. See, God's not done giving people a mission in this life. God has given us a mission to also go and make disciples. God has promised if we do that, he will be with us. And then Apostle Paul, he also picks up on this language. Listen to what he says in the book of Romans. He says, what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So yeah, we'll have our share of problems and hardships. But God is for us. God is with us. And then Jesus himself, he promised that he will build his church and the gates of hell will never overcome it. And so CPC is alive and well because guess what? This is his church, not ours. And by God's grace, we get to be a part of the process, but all we do is for him and by him and for his glory. So no matter what you are going through this morning, no matter what you've been through in your past, man, God, you can know for sure that God is right there with you through it all. You know, in his book, Letters to My Children, Daniel Taylor responds to a series of questions from his young children. And at one point, his son Matthew, this is a great one, his son Matthew asked, Dad, he says, church is getting boring. Why do we have to go to church? And listen to Taylor's reply. It's a little long, but it's really, really good. He says this. He says, think about it. If a friend of yours called and said that a famous athlete or singer was going to be at his house and asked if you wanted to come over, wouldn't you go? And wouldn't you be excited? Of course. And so would I. He says, well, the church is the place where God will be every time you go. Of course, he is with you whether you're in church or not, but he can be there in a special way when many believers gather to celebrate him together, even in a high school auditorium, I would add. Sounds great, I hear you saying, but then how come you fell asleep so much? Isn't that awesome? If God is really there, see, that's why we keep it cold in here, so you won't fall asleep, but if God is really there, I mean really there, then how come we aren't bug-eyed and breathless most of the time, his son says. And dad writes, well, that's a very good question. I wish I had a very good answer. Well, part of it is that God knows that we can't take very much of him. It's like when you hold Fluff, your hamster. Hamsters are terrible, awful creatures, by the way. But it's like when you hold Fluff, our hamster. If you squeeze very hard, Fluff will be on his way to hamster heaven. All right? You have to hold Fluff gently, talk to him quietly. Well, God has to be sort of like that with us. And then he writes, truthfully, though, the biggest reason might be that we don't want very much of God. We want God to stay in his cage like Fluff does. We are afraid of losing control of our own lives. We just want him to help us out a little there, forgive us a little there, and let us handle the rest. And so we try to make church a safe place where we can get a little bit of God, but ooh, not too much. See, we don't like surprises, not even from God. So we make our churches places where surprises aren't likely to happen. We ask God to come only if he will be polite. And therefore, little kids and adult kids often fall asleep even if they keep their eyes wide open. And then he ends the chapter with this. And yet at this very same time, church is a wonderful place. God has chosen it, sorriness and all, to be the place where he will meet with his people, the place from which he will send his people to all parts of the world to preach the good news about him. Do you believe that God is with us right here, right now, and that absolutely anything could happen? Man, I hope you believe that this morning. Joshua believed that. He was going to be sent on an incredibly dangerous mission with a million people who just whine and complain all the time, right? He had big leadership shoes to fill, and yet he said, okay, God, if you're going to be with me, I'll go. Well, I've titled my sermon, Journey of Faith, because that's what I see in Joshua's life. See, when you know God's track record of faithfulness, like Joshua, you'll want to respond with trust and obedience. See, the truth is, we need more Joshuas today. We need more people who will believe God's promises and then act on them. We need more people who will believe in the power of obeying God's word. They won't be merely hearers of the word, as James says, but they will be doers of the word. We need more Joshuas, more people who will believe that God is always with them. And they will live their lives as if that's true. And so as you look back on your own life, can you see God's hand and his faithfulness all over it? I hope so. As I look back on these past 5 years, man, I see God's fingerprints all over in both the good and the bad. See, a life with God is always, always, always a journey of faith. Why? Because the Bible says, and without what? Faith, it's impossible to please God. And so since it's a new year, and since we're celebrating 5 years of God's faithfulness at CPC and 40-plus years of God's faithfulness at CPC, let me just ask and end with one question. I'm going to invite the worship team out. Let me end with this one question. This is what I call a faith-stretching question. Here it is. What's the most humanly impossible thing you will ask God to do this year? Let me ask that again. What is the most humanly impossible thing, something that will stretch your faith, that you will prayerfully ask God for this year? Man, let's ask for faith like Joshua, and let's trust in a God who is absolutely faithful. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your wonderful and precious promises. Father, I just pray that right now you will call to our attention the ones that we need to hold on to this year. And I don't know what that is for someone here this morning, but you know what that is. Maybe for someone here this morning, God, they feel very distant from you. God, would they rely on that promise that says, when we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that in this new year, you would help us to read it consistently, but also apply it constantly. Father, we want to be people of the book. And so, Father, I thank you also for your presence. We believe that you are here right now in our midst. And so, Father, we pray that you would be with us this year as we live for you by faith, every single one of us. And finally, Lord, we are absolutely grateful for the 40-plus years you've been faithful to CPC and the 5 years you've been faithful to the North Campus. Continue to lead us this year. It's for your name and for your glory we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right, come on, guys. And all God's people said, amen. All right, let's all stand together, okay?